It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
I know you didn't turn my mic on for a reason.
I'm sorry.
Is it spring? I mean, I know it's Easter Sunday. Happy Easter Sunday. Lord is risen. Totally get it. Okay. Is it spring though? Because I feel like I'm being psyched.
I feel like
Lucy's gonna grab the football and just yank it out from me. Like, cause you were right. By the way, good morning, everyone. You're listening to the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host Philip Sassano, and I have our GM Melinda Hendrickson in the studio today. Mel, say hi to everybody.
Hello.
All right, we'll get back to you in a minute. All right, so here's where you were right about something. Okay.
Well, you're going to have to be more specific because I'm right about a lot of things.
I'm right about a lot of things. My name's Nancy Douglas. Okay. You were right that it always snows during March Madness.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me?
Always.
Like, 2 days into it.
Yeah.
It snowed 7 inches.
Yeah. It was ridiculous.
I mean,
it melted the next day.
Yeah,
it's
no,
not
but,
like
I, but
stuck
you were
around,
you were right. It really did kind of throw a wrench into things a little bit.
Well,
it's just winter's, you know, mid-March reminder, right?
Right.
Like, I'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that vibe.
It is. And you do have a problem with getting past it, right?
Yeah.
I
have some stress thinking that like there might just be another, because listen, the weather patterns, I'm going to let you know right now, if you are global warming, not global warming, it doesn't matter. Weather patterns do change. And right now, we are in a pattern where it's a little different. I remember 15 years ago, the snow line was right at the state line.
Okay? Right. Mm-hmm.
And we would just get hammered. And I mean, like, hammered. And the kids loved it because it was like a 12-inch, a 14-inch, right? It was a lot. And now that it's down south a little bit, like maybe like 50 miles, it's felt a little different the past few years. So I'm still.
But you're right, though. It ebbs and flows. I mean,
I'm still feeling like we're going to get some April snow. Maybe I'm wrong.
Why would you put that out there? Have you never heard about putting things out into the universe back to you?
I know.
What are you thinking?
I do think flurries are possible at least at some point.
So you reinforce it with flurries? What is wrong with you?
Anyway, Easter.
Yes, let's move on to something happy.
Okay, so Okay, so here's what I got for Easter. Is Easter a big thing in your family? I feel like Easter sometimes is like the second holiday. Even though it's like a really important religious holiday. I feel like it's one of those I don't know. It just doesn't quite have the gravity.
And
it probably should. It just doesn't.
Right. Well, I think that
in some settings,
society, it should be far more relevant than people tend to sell in the way that they celebrate it.
Yes.
But I also think that it's different. You know, it's a generational thing, right? Because my grandkids, it's all about the Easter bunny and all of that. They have not.
Do you do an Easter egg hunt? Is my first question.
Well, I emcee the Lake Geneva Easter egg hunt for the JCs. Geneva JC, that was yesterday.
Yep.
And there were like 100 million eggs for these kids to pick up this year. I mean, it was like crazy.
What's in them, candy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's not money.
Well, I know, but that my family was money and candy.
Right. So I depend on the JCs to take care of that tradition for me.
Sure.
So
you don't feel the need to do it then for your grandkids?
No, because no.
Mel,
did
you do Easter? Did your parents do Easter egg hunts for you?
My Easter experience was amazing. My dad would write poems. So you'd start in the bathroom, let's say. And then there would be a poem there that would give you a clue to where to go next.
Are you kidding me?
And on an
That's even better.
I did not know about this.
Oh,
okay. Please expound.
So I was the youngest. So my brother would run in front of me, read the poem, and be out the door onto his next clue before I even got to the room.
Okay, so the poem was a clue to some present?
To the next clue.
Oh, to the next clue.
So then you go from one clue to the next, like, this is the place where you start your car, and so you go out to the garage, And then on and on it would go, and it'd say, like, and here is your final clue.
Was it a gift, or was it the basket? Oh, it was the basket. Okay. Where your basket was.
Right.
Okay.
So I tried to do that for my son, but my poems were so lame. And I remember, we don't do it anymore. He's 20, but his last one, he's like,
your last poem was like, it's in the living room over there by the hair. Right. Like, it's like,
exactly. Apparently I hid it in the same place, the last one, 3 years in a row.
Oh,
the back of my car. He's like, I hope this year it's not in the back of your car. And I'm like, oops.
I did it again.
He went right to the back of my car. He skipped all the poems.
What a smart great tradition.
Yeah.
I love that. Now, my parent, we used to have Easter egg hunts. My mom and dad would hide the Easter eggs and stuff. And then my parents, we would go to their house for Easter. And my dad would hide Easter eggs for my daughters. And they would hide them.
Okay.
You know, and from each other, or my brother or whoever. And one of them stuck an egg in a 2-inch PVC.
Like a vent pipe?
A vent pipe 1 year. And, you know, then it, of course, it, like, they couldn't figure. Yeah, it was a
big deal.
Huge deal. And so there were no more Easter egg hunts allowed ever in my dad's universe.
Okay, so we did, Julie has done that for the kids when they were younger. Julie's mom did it for them. Mm-hmm. You know, Julie's mom is, you know, all things about that.
Of course.
So that went without saying. My family did that on occasion, but not, I mean, I only remember a couple times. I do remember this specifically. I remember the candy and the money.
Mm-hmm.
And when you would crack it open, you'd be like, a nickel. You know, because there was only like, there was a few dollars. You know what I mean? And then like my brother would get the dollars. And I'm like, I can't even go to a toll booth here with what I got in these eggs. Mom.
He was six.
Okay, he's got like, you know, the $2 bill, you know. And then my brothers would hold it, you know, they'd like razz you. You know what I mean? It was, so Easter Day got a different little meaning for me. Mel's getting poems and I'm scrounging for change.
Well, that's like, all right.
There couldn't be maybe two.
I'm getting general contractor bills from my dad, so I don't remember it.
Yeah, by the way, that egg really clogged up my...
Oh, my God. I was
my
in
dryer
so much
pipe.
Trouble.
Okay? It's a $150 bill from the service provider.
It was some kind of pipe that went into the basement. Like, it was bad. We were in a lot of
trouble.
Well,
listen, all things spring now is what we turn our attention
but
to.
But, yeah,
now.
I mean, that's
all
what we're
things
supposed
spring?
To... Like, the colors and the, you know... The daylight savings time has changed, so, you know, and we have longer days.
Yeah.
And all those things are supposed to be happening. We are not supposed to be waking up and hiding Easter eggs on frost-covered lawns right now.
This is true. I do believe this. I also have this thing about pastels.
Oh.
So I want to talk a little bit about the proper use of pastels. And, you know,
like,
I feel for an Easter Sunday show that that's 100% applicable. Okay. And a topic worth, I would think, exploring, because I think people have an aversion. I mean, do you wear a lot of pastels in your wardrobe? Either one of
I
you?
I do not.
No.
No.
No pastels.
And why, like, what is the reason for the aversion to pastel? Is it that it washes us out this time of year because we don't have tans? Is it, what is it? Because it's like other parts of the country, it's pastel palooza. Okay, in like the South, and like I just recently came back from Florida, and you're seeing, you know, like all of those florally pastels. It's, you know, it's spring, and they're celebrating it not only in their design, but they're celebrating it on their person. Okay, mm-hmm. And I don't know what the aversion is here in the Midwest. Is what is that all about? Like, why can't, like you're both making pastel face right now.
Oh, I know why. I don't wear pastels.
All right, I want to know why.
I tend to wear darker colors. Do you tend to wear darker colors?
I wear darker colors. But when I'm in Florida, for instance.
Well, of course.
Okay, Pulitzer
just for the record,
up.
Just so everyone knows, Nancy is currently dressed like she's on a stakeout at night.
Mm-hmm. I am.
In a black sedan.
Mm-hmm.
All you're missing is the ski mask, and you'd be very scary.
It's in the car.
So pastels, like, just no? Like, do you decorate with them? Like, okay, let's start here. Do you decorate for Easter?
No.
No.
Wow. I have.
I'm kind of surprised by that because you decorate.
I am a decorator.
You are a decorator
yeah.
seasonally. You just don't, Mel. You?
I have decorations, but I'm. It just goes from St. Patrick's Day, and then I usually just get lazy and skip right over the
right.
The
me
Easter
too.
Thing
to July 4th. That's right, the next right. time you're going to see me.
Exactly. To Memorial right. Day.
I got
Let's
a ton of red, white, and blue stuff. That's,
oh my
yeah.
gosh! Okay, so this is what I think today's topic is. Why
don't
the
we
dismissive
wear...
nature of pastels? Why?
Well, no.
Why is there no passion for pastels? Because I want to talk about the relevance of them, why they work, when they work, where they work, what they do, because they do have a place. So I'm wondering, other than in the holiday decorations of Easter, right, and beyond the bunnies and beyond the eggs, right, that we expand our mind and to the possibilities of pastel. And I don't know. You guys are so skeptical. You're like, great. This is we just lost half our listeners.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're going to talk about. Trust me, there's some cocktail love coming to everybody at the end of the show.
Oh, thank God.
But I'm just letting you know, like, I don't understand the aversion.
Okay. You're talking about a vastly different topic when you switch from the clothes that we wear to how pastels fit into an interior.
Am I, though?
Yes.
Am I, though?
Yes. You want to flat out know why I wear dark colors? Dark colors make you look smaller.
Okay. Okay. And so you're saying that a nice shade of pink makes you look massive?
Yep.
Mel, any
big
thoughts
pink.
On that?
Hello, Pop, over here.
Yeah, I think lighter colors in general sort of...
They're less forgiving.
Yeah, they're less forgiving. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, you can't hide behind, you know...
Can't hide behind a great shade of yellow?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No, you cannot.
I think the brighter the color, the more out there you are. You bring attention to yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you wear a nice black sweater.
Okay, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you that pastels are not necessarily subtle, even though sometimes they are subtle.
Right.
In other words, pastels can be a hue or a shade of color, right? That can be, you know, very niche-y. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, so let's just go down the line here, okay? And before we go to break, I want to do this. I want to talk about this. I want you to think when we come back about the shades of pastels that you do wear, okay? When you wear them. When you decorate with them, because I'm going to tell you, no one is 100% anti-pastel, okay? And you shouldn't be on Easter Sunday. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. I wish people could hear off air the between the break conversations. Because it's like, oh my gosh. I mean, good morning, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And we're talking about, the... permanent or not so permanent nature of pastels and why Nancy is ready to just sort of can them right after Easter.
Yeah.
Like, you don't think they have legs? Pastels have no legs, do you think?
I am not a fan of pastel colors. Flowers are fine.
Okay, but
my fingernail polish,
yes,
that's
but I wanna,
fine.
Okay, but
that can
now
be pastel.
I want to know why, and this is for each of you. When we came back from the, you know, when we left to go to break, we talked about, you know, I feel like your pastels are like daffodils. Like, daffodils get cheated, okay? Like, there's a bulb that's in the ground, and they get, like, 3 days. And they're like, we're here! We gotta go. They're like, you know what I mean? Like, they get, like, 3 minutes in the sun, daffodils do. And they, like, and when they come up, they're beautiful. They're colorful. They're white and yellow, right, mm-hmm. for the most part. And they come up, and they're like, yay! And they're like, oh. And then, like, that first snow crushes them, and they're out, right?
Right?
They don't get a long enough run. I feel like pastels are the daffodils of color, right? And I feel like people use them, but remember I talk about percentages? So let's maybe change the conversation a little bit. Let's talk about a little bit about, have you ever used or are you currently using a shade of a pastel? Okay. Now we're going softer yellow, so butter yellow, softer blush, because blush is making a big comeback, guys. Blush pink, velvet sofas are out there like these luxurious pastels. Look at Nancy's face, are making a comeback. And all I'm saying is I have a hunch maybe you guys are using them in more ways than maybe you originally thought.
Like, does gray count?
No, gray is not a pastel. Gray's barely a color. As all of the shades of gray go, right? Like, as all of the shades of gray, like, are now offended and, like, now not listening to the
show.
How
about tan?
And please don't send, no, tan is not a color either. Tan is just a lighter shade of earth, okay? Okay, it just is. No, there's
that I'm using the pastels absolutely zero pastels.
So pastels as a derivative of a more clear color, okay? And I say clear colors because clear colors are the colors that are in the, I would say, the description that I would say would be the purest form of the raw pigment, right? So like your royal blue, your cherry red, right? Your fern green, mm-hmm. all of these. But then there's the pastels. Mm-hmm. And the pastels are like the softer, mm-hmm. kinder, gentler version of like those clear colors, and they have a place. And I just mentioned two right there. Powder blue is one, okay? And blush pink is another. Are you both telling me, and am I hearing, that neither one of you have anything in your wardrobe, in your jewelry, in your home that is not blush pink, butter yellow, or light blue? Please, for the love of God, on today's show of all days Easter, don't lie to the audience and tell me you don't. Don't start this rejuvenation day of cleansing with a lie that says you don't have pastel.
Neither one of us said that we had zero mm-hmm. pastel in our lives.
Yeah, I'm winning. Now the argument needle is moving in my direction.
No, it's not moving
happening.
At all.
It's happening.
We said that, number one,
listening,
it's carefully controlled.
Mm. Yes.
Not necessarily our preference.
Okay.
That was about it. Okay. We didn't say there was zero.
I can tell you that everything in my underwear drawer is pastel.
Oh there you go.
Okay, that just I don't even know. Wow. Okay,
that's about it.
Probably not everything, though, because you got to have a pair of black.
Okay.
You got to, right? Yes. Like you got,
okay.
So
but that's where you're going to find the pastel.
Right.
Okay.
So you have to dig.
Because it's soft.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not loud.
Well. Right. Right? That
now,
has
listen.
More to do with
okay. So let's just talk about. So let's just talk about this. Let's actually turn that to a design. Okay, intimate, mm-hmm. easy on the eye, mm-hmm. right? Like there are attributes to pastels that are actually. I'm going to make the argument on today's show, and I'm going to show you how I'm going to unravel this in front of everyone. Okay, I'm going to open it like an Easter egg. Okay, and you won't be disappointed because there won't be 2 cents in there like when I was a kid. There will be a lot of payoff.
He's a little bitter about that whole thing.
Yeah, just like my brother would get all the money, like in like he'd be like, "Oh, there's this $10 bill in this green egg," and I'm like, "I got like a quarter and like an old." Like candy corn. It's not even the right. It's like, Mom, this isn't even the right season. How old is this candy corn? Okay? It's not even the right candy for the right. Well, I had it left. I know you did. I know you did. I'm grateful anyway. Okay? Anyway.
What are you going to try and prove?
I will, on today's show, that the percentages of pastel, okay, and that the passion is in the subtlety of it,
yeah.
Okay? And I think sometimes people give pastels a bad name. Like, I really do. I think that there's this, like, because the statement will always come over, how do you feel about pastels? And there's always, you guys both literally made pastel face. Like, it's almost like asking people how they like anchovies or something. It's like, yeah, like if they're in there, like it's almost like if they're in there and I don't notice them, they're fine. It's like capers. It's like if they're in there and I happen to eat one with my chicken piccata, it doesn't bother me, but I don't go out of my way to like, you know, eat a bunch of capers. Like I feel like that's how people feel about pastel. Like they tolerate pastel. Yeah. And I'm here to tell you, you can build such beautiful interiors, such lively interiors, and you can punctuate with pastel. Now, I know that sounds even crazier because we're going to talk about that on today's show, about how you can punctuate with pastel.
But see, that doesn't sound crazy.
I know, but I'm getting you guys over. I know because I'm winning the argument. This is why. You guys are coming around to me like, oh, yeah, I see how that makes sense. Because in percentages and with punctuation and in the right context, pastels can be phenomenal, okay? And I feel like we rush to summer. I will say to you, we rush to summer. We do sometimes here in the Midwest, especially where we are located here in the Geneva Lakes area. We rush to 4th of July and Memorial Day. Or Memorial Day, then 4th of July. We rush to red, mm-hmm. white, and blue. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying there is a color exploration. There is a journey seasonally beyond the Easter egg. Okay? And beyond the bunnies, which, by the way, you're going to shelve those on Monday. I don't, like, they're, like, and Easter does not have, like, right. when I say to you, Easter is, like, also the daffodil of holidays. It's, like, it's here for, like, 3 days. You eat the ham, and then you're, like, okay, enough with the bunnies. You know what I mean? But you'll leave up Christmas decorations till like March. Right. Okay? You would never do that with Easter.
You if just turn like, the green
if,
lights
if,
on.
If you guys are like, why do you still have bunnies on the mantle and it's May? People would be like, I just haven't gotten around to it. I was trapped under something heavy. I don't, that's the mindset. Like the mindset with Easter is just canon. And what I'm telling you and what I'm trying to espouse on today's show is that there can be a passion for pastels that I think has longevity in certain settings. I liked Mel's analogy as interestingly timed as it was about the intimates that they're of pastel. Powder rooms can be that way.
Yes.
They can be softer. They're smaller. They're smaller rooms. They don't need to be a shock and awe, right? So it's about where you apply pastels, how you apply pastels. You're right, Nancy, in the right percentages. I mean, mm-hmm. do you own like... If you really search the hard drive now, right? Like beyond your intimate drawers. Okay, like search the hard drive of whatever else is in your home. Like, do you guys own anything along the light blue variety, yellow variety, pink variety, blush variety?
I do.
Soft green
variety? I do
variety,
light blue.
Like lime? No?
I mean, I don't just wear black. I don't walk around
go,
like
go
I'm going
go,
to a
go
funeral
your
all day.
Wardrobe. Go into the home. Go into the home. This is a show about your home, not your
Oh, about
show.
My house?
Yes.
Nope. Everything's black there, too.
Seriously?
No.
I didn't think so. Stop. You're like Miss Seasonal Decoration. I am really surprised that you're not like overtly like crazy Easter person.
I am not because, you know, I have a fear of dying eggs.
Oh, you do?
Well, yeah. I just hate it.
I don't like the smell of a hard-boiled egg. That's my problem.
Oh, no, I love the eggs themselves. It's the coloring the eggs. That it was just a nightmare when the kids were little and dipping, and then the kids are 12 mm-hmm. different colors for mm-hmm. 4 or 5 days.
So like the decoration of an Easter egg, and like this percentage, you know that my philosophy, and one of my major philosophies on the show, is that color in the right percentages is really the key. Mm-hmm. Pastels is no different, but it gets discounted, okay? It just does. I'm here to tell you that they can be signature, especially if surrounded by some of the right things. So let's just start with the general use of not pastel as a feature. Let's just start with the layering of pastel in a space to politely punctuate color, or mm-hmm. I would say introduce color. Now, you know that I believe most people they lack color confidence. You know this, right? Mm.
Sure.
We all do it. You know, we all do it. We all look sometimes at magazines and in our Instagram feeds or in our social media feeds, and we see someone wearing a really striking color thing, mm-hmm. and we initially do what? We like it. Because mm-hmm. I think we're hardwired to enjoy color.
Mm-hmm.
I think we are. I think we're naturally wanting to be connected to nature, and nature is everything from floral to green to brown to whatever. Like, I feel like there's a natural connection there for us. People talk themselves out of it. I've seen too many occasions over 25-plus years in this business where people talk themselves out of colors they love. In fact, I've flat out been at a table where someone has looked at me in the face and said, I absolutely abhor that color. And literally it's in like 5 things on their outfit. Okay. No, this has happened. I mean, I had literally had a gentleman sit across from me and I was going through the color exploration conversation that I have with clients about like, hey, you know, what do you have an aversion to? Right. It's interesting how it mirrors my conversations about cocktails, though, Nancy. Like,
well,
it does. Like, what is your base
right.
spirit aversion? Like, what
right.
is your base color aversion? And often I will hear from clients, well, you know, I don't really like this. And then there's a reason. Either they did it before, which, by the way, is a very valid reason. Like, if you've
sure.
already decorated with a lot of a color, you know, many times with a color, I can see why you wouldn't want that again.
Right. You
like,
need something
you're
different.
You're just sort of over it.
Right.
You know, right. You know, been there, done that kind of philosophy. But to absolutely say to me, that I hate this color or I can't do this color and then be wearing it in some percentage, I can tell you that this happened to me on more than one occasion. I had this gentleman sit across from me, and I said, well, any colors I should maybe stay away from? Anything that you just, you're not really a fan of. I don't like red at all. And I mean, it was like the most declarative statement that maybe, and I remember it vividly because I'm just staring at this man, and I'm looking at his shirt, and I'm looking at the tie. Both have a really beautiful laced little thread of red that tied that whole outfit together. Now, anybody who knows anything about assembling outfits is that that's what you look for. Mm-hmm. Wearing a brown sweater, you look for the brown little thread maybe in the plaid that's in your blue and brown shirt. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, it matches. It coordinates. And if anything anybody knows about interior design, that's what it's all about, okay? So for us to deny ourselves some of these colors in the right percentages seems to me to be really strange and maybe a huge miss.
So when you pointed out the red in his outfit, what did he say?
He just started laughing, which was great for me because, like, I think sometimes when you've just checkmated someone on something that is just so blatantly obvious. I mean, the only person laughing harder than him was his wife.
Well.
Who just knew he had just been schooled because he was very declarative about it. You know, it was very much like, because my response was, that's interesting that you say that. Because our color percentage philosophy here has us with some colors in the right percentages and then they work. And he's like, I don't know about that. I go, really? Because your shirt has a thread of red and as does your tie and you look fabulous today. And he was, and then they just lost it. And he goes, he understood, crap.
Oh, you don't mean like, painting all the walls and having the carpet red.
All right. Right. Like, I had just illustrated in that one moment why percentage of color is exactly why I don't want you guys to deny yourself color.
Right.
In particular, pastels. So when we come back from the break, we're not only going to talk about how we use them, we're going to talk about how to make them amazing. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
You are being held hostage.
I know, but I only have four segments. You do let me out after four because I'd love a five. Anyway. Good morning, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach and happy Easter right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And we're talking about my passion for pastels. And before you get all bent about it, it's not a passion for pastels that wants them to be overt in your home unless that's something that you like. I am telling you that the percentage of pastel and the percentage of color is what matters in this conversation today. I mean, I remember, Mel just asked me, like, is this what you were going to talk about today? Like, is this what you... Well, I mean, I had an idea that it was going to be an Easter show, and, you know, pastels are a natural link there. And I kind of wanted to dig into that like we did in the first couple segments. But I have learned that if I try to write it down, that I do sound like I'm being forced to talk design against my will.
And held hostage.
On the radio.
Right.
It did sound like that. Any of you guys, there are reasons that archive does not go back 10 years.
Right.
Because it's like, my name is Philip Sassano. I like pastels. You should use them too. Like, it was not great. It was not great. I am okay. I am eating. They are giving me 3 square meals a day. I like design. No, sorry. I love design. Like, it was not great. It was not great radio.
You can't, when you're doing a show, you can't read it. You have to feel it. You have to talk it.
It's music.
And
it's kind of music.
Right.
It's
and
kind
this
of
is,
music. It's like being part of a band.
Right.
You're just kind of riffing
it's
the whole
art.
Thing. So as we riff on today's, Easter Sunday show, this percentage of pastels and making them both punctuation and platform. So I'm going to use the two P's here. Pastels in punctuation and in platform. Now, let me talk about what I mean by those two philosophies. Okay. Let's talk about platform first. Platform would be, I want a signature element that lays a foundation for something really, really cool. Okay? Mm-hmm. Pastels don't normally come, I think, to the forefront because I think they get a bad rap. I got to be honest with you. I just think they get a bad rap. I'm not saying that Easter has anything to do with it. I'm not saying the way people think about Easter has something to do with it. I am suggesting that the shortness of the season and where pastels have traditionally been used and how short spring can be might tend to make them not have the longevity like a daffodil, right, that we talked about. Like, there's tulip season. Right?
I think people think they're sissy colors.
Okay. Okay. That is such a Midwestern testosterone-heavy comment that you just made.
I just do.
Because I'm just saying, I've seen, like, they are some of the most interesting, softer colors. And I will tell you, I think if they're on the right guy, okay, I don't think they're as sissy. Okay? I'm going to tell you right now, if I went ahead and I went ahead and searched on your Instagram feed, hot guys in pink shirts, I'm going to tell you right now, you'd probably find some stuff that was quote-unquote on Easter Sunday eye candy. So I'm just letting you know, you would find some of that. You would find exactly what you're looking for. So I think that's another myth. I think the myth is that they're sissy. I think what they are is that they're subtle. And when we talk about using them as a platform, there are times when you want rooms to just not shock you. Mm. They want to just envelop you. And I'm going to tell you that pastels as a platform are a little bit sexier, right? So Mel, your comment earlier in the show, right? It's not off. Right. I'm just saying, like, there is sort of a softer, more subtle vibe to them that I think makes them attractive as a platform in some settings. I used the blush pink sofa as a marker. I have seen these beautiful rooms, and especially, you know, I'm doing a lot of homes in Florida right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, Florida is kind of pastel all the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like,
but that...
That's just what... That's what they do there, okay? And I will tell you, like, on the East Coast, pastel, they give pastel a season. Mm. They really do. Like, they give it a season. In the Midwest, we're ready to can it right after Easter and grab the American flags and stick them right in our pots. And it's like,
and we go right
5th,
from
like April 5th, right?
We go right from American flags into pumpkin lattes.
Yes.
And all of the autumn colors.
100%. And then we barely give pumpkins their due before we're Christmas treeing it up. Right? So what I'm saying is there gets no more, you know, no more color palette gets cheated more than pastels, okay? And I want to talk about, as platform, I have seen some of the most rich velvets, rich fabrics, and again, velvets can have a little bit of a heavier connotation. I am seeing these complex, what are called performance weaves, which are dual, so they're almost like dual woven. I'm going to describe that for you. So you have like a pink, and then you've got like a cream, or you've got like a pink, and then you've got like a lighter, almost like a lighter pink, okay, within that. And it gives a texture in a tooth and a little bit of a modulated, so it's not so solid. It also gives it a weight that's really nice. And I am telling you that if you haven't really explored these colors, I think you've got to give them a try as foundational elements for rooms that you want to feel soft. Mm-hmm. Because here's where people bail. When they want soft, where do they go, Nancy? Cream.
Oh.
Where do they go? White. Where do they go? Gray. Okay? They don't ever think about that a soft room can still be colorful. They think a soft room is color void.
See, I agree with you on that. I don't. Yeah, I mean, our
you
tans.
You don't go there. You don't
right,
go.
The tans and the dark blues and stuff and the grays that we've used.
There's nothing more welcoming in the spring. And I've seen this in the finishes of some of the enamel. So some of the sprayed enamel from like Brown Jordan, who's a very popular outdoor furniture line that we have. Like the really soft yellows in the actual iron of the furniture or in the fabrics. Like there's nothing that makes you smile more than some pastels. Even somebody really macho. Okay, or somebody wearing a pink shirt. Okay? I'm not saying that pastels aren't vulnerable.
The yellow tie.
I'm not saying that they're not vulnerable. I'm not saying, but they don't have to be sissy either, okay?
Okay.
I'm not saying that they're not vulnerable, but they can all, but vulnerability is also really an attractive quality.
Okay? Well, yellow
especially
has always been,
because it's really inviting. You're not threatened by a pastel? Are you threatened by a pastel? Like, does pastel make you go, does it make you wince? Like maybe like a shocking shade of like a really heavy color? No. So if shock and awe is appealing, so can sort of confident, colorful, but still subtle. And I think that's where pastels get a bad rap, especially foundationally, because I have, you know, right now I'm about to design two spaces where the sofas are a lighter shade of color and they're not both in Florida. Okay. And when we explored the why the blue, soft powder blue sofa, like why? Because I could layer sharper colors on top of that the client had a real aversion to. Okay. In other words, I could take a really subtle foundation of a blue sofa and I could lay punchier, quote unquote, colors on top of that. Mm-hmm. It made me do the one thing, Nancy, you said, which is in the right percentage, You want to what? Control color.
Right.
And I believe that that's the case. But when we think about controlling it, it doesn't have to be boring. Like, it doesn't have to be gray, cream, white, or tan. And in the Midwest, we do that a lot. Okay?
I don't,
entire
but those
big
are
box
also
catalog
calming.
Stores. Okay, yes, they're calming in a very generic, like almost quasi like gutless way. Like, I'm sorry, it's really hard to make a gray interior without a lot of texture. I mean, if you layer a lot of texture, gray on gray on gray on gray, cream on cream on cream on cream, tan on tan on tan on tan, with lots of texture, you can raise that level of interest through texture. You can.
True.
Still monotone. Still same color. And I love the chemistry, and I think the dance that certain colors do together. And I don't think that there's an easier way to do the color dance than with pastels. So think about this for a moment. Okay, I'm not saying that year round, right, that you want to be able to have pastel-a-palooza everywhere. But I am saying that if your foundation in your room is soft with a blue sofa or a blush sofa, do you know how easy it is to pair a pink sofa with butter yellow? A pink sofa with a washed, even a tangerine and green, even a powder blue. And then if you want to pull that away non-spring and you want to put something else back on that, I'm just saying pastels are a foundation on which you can build and control color. And in a way, in a very soft and subtle way, they're like the gateway, okay, to experimenting with color. Especially this spring. I mean, can you imagine a better way to sort of, I don't know, not dive in head first? Almost like my favorite thing about the Midwest in spring is that first February 60 degree day, if we're lucky enough to get it, where you're like, oh my gosh, like it's gonna come, like it's coming.
The light then, at the end of the
yeah,
tunnel.
And then there's the mm-hmm. rain that comes with March and April, but then you all of a sudden get that surprise like 74 degree day. And there's the warmth, and the grass is still relatively dormant, but you can feel it. Mm-hmm. And then after a couple rains in April, right, all of a sudden the trees are not brown anymore. They're budding again. You see it again, and all of a sudden, what are you responding to? You are responding to the world coming alive again with what?
Color.
And why aren't we taking that same approach in our homes? Mm-hmm. Like, why aren't we doing that? And pastels might just be mm-hmm. the perfect way to kind of introduce that. Okay. Now, here's again where I think they go wrong platform wise. Too much is too much. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if it's pastel or hunter green, it can be overbearing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I do think the percentage plays, but I do think that we immediately discount those colors, even though our natural tendency is to really enjoy them. I think we're inherently as enthusiasts of design. I think we're inherently conflicted. I think we contradict ourselves on a regular basis. I think we let our physical appearance become an outward expression of how we feel about our homes. And you know that I feel as though people's homes are ultimate performance art.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you surround yourself with in your home matters. And I see my clients living colorful lives, and I see the environments that enhance that experience for their guests and for them on a daily basis. And it matters. It matters as much as the blooming of the flower. It matters as much as the blooming of the tree and why we feel differently when we're attached to color. And so we haven't had many color conversations this winter, right? We've been talking a lot about lots of other things. But as I wanted to turn it, I couldn't think of a better show to have the color conversation as a genesis, right? And dare I weave it into a new beginning, okay? A resurrection of color, if you will, on today's show, okay? And maybe we start with pastel. You're raising your hand.
No, I was praising.
Sorry.
I was praising the resurrection of color.
You in the black, you have a question?
No, usually when I raise my hand, I go, oh.
I'm just saying. This is where this conversation
needs to
start.
Nobody thinks that you're wrong. Nobody thinks that you're wrong.
I know, but I still haven't made you a quote-unquote believer. And I will in segment four, I promise. Okay? Because when we talk about how to take from platform to punctuation, that's when it really becomes interesting. Because platform, listen, I'm not saying everyone's going to go run out and buy like a blush sofa. Although I am telling you that a blush accent chair, because you know how I feel about accent chairs, make them matter. You want to go neutral sofa all day long, feel free. But your accent chairs better make a statement.
Well, that smaller makes complete percentage, sense.
Easier. Do not make your lounge chair boring. If your lounge chair is boring, don't call me. I don't really want to know you. Okay? It says a lot. It's the matching sets say a lot. Like, I didn't want to be creative. I just wanted to buy the set. I wanted to get it over with, and it could be delivered on Tuesday. Okay? That's not the world.
Bought it at Quick Trip.
It's not the world I want to live in. It's not the world I do live in. It's not the world I want to live in. And you know what? People pay me to make them live in worlds that are very colorful and very edited and ones that fit. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to take it from foundation and platform to punctuation. And I'm going to try to make everybody listening a true believer. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. I'm going to start the segment before with a nice laugh. Anyway, good morning, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. Happy Easter, everybody. I'm hoping you're spending it with the people that you love most and remembering those who couldn't join you, today. So, listen, here's the deal. I love that I'm saying I'm moving the needle, and you guys, it's a little begrudging because I can see it in both of your faces, like, oh my God, to come have the point.
Okay, wait.
Like I said as I finished segment trois, okay? And this is segment four, okay? What? It's French. Okay?
Okay, well, isn't French.
No, that's three. I finished segment three.
I know.
As I finished segment three
right.
with the comment, I'm not asking everyone to go run out and get a butter yellow sofa, a blush sofa, or whatever, but it does make a great foundation for an introduction of color that you can layer more punctuated colors on top of. But now I'm, okay, go ahead, Nancy. Now I'm going to go to punctuation about how you can do that.
Okay, but you...
I'm winning this argument. I know it. I see it in your faces. I'm just letting you know. You're like, here's where you guys are at. Still not going to do it. I see you acknowledging that.
I don't need a new couch.
Still not going to do it.
He started out asking us if we had pastel clothing.
That is correct.
Yeah, because I wanted to know whether or not I had hypocrites on my hand. That's what I wanted to know.
Forward into, well, if you don't have any pastel clothing, then you probably don't have anything pastel in your house, which I've been trying to find the right opportunity to tell him that, in fact, my bedroom is painted a light blue. So
excellent.
I do have pastel in my house.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Well, okay, but that doesn't mean you're changing my mind. It's been painted that way for 5 years.
Okay, but this is actually what a great segue. Thank you, Nancy.
Okay, but
in that you've now what you've done is you've said I have light blue on my walls. How do I accentuate a pastel color as a foundation by punctuating it? Or how do I take a relatively boring interior? Right? A gray, a tan, mm-hmm. a white. And how do I use pastels to be able to punctuate it, especially mm-hmm. seasonally? I'm not saying I'm asking you in the fall, okay, to be busting out, okay, your pink.
My pastel
I'm not asking
colors.
You to completely throw out the seasonal appreciation of color. Mm-hmm. It's not what I'm suggesting. All I'm suggesting on today's show is that pastels don't get their due because Easter gets shortchanged, right? And it's like we go from Good Friday to the Lord is risen, and then we move on to sinner's land. Okay? That's the arc, man. Like, that's we just don't give it enough time. There's 12 days of Christmas. There's 3 days of Easter. Like, it's not enough. Mm. It's not enough. And in the Midwest, the minute it becomes 70, it's like, what? Spring feels like summer. This is great. Like, we just completely think about launching the boat. Like, mm-hmm. golfing on the thing. Like, that's what we think about. We go to baseball. Like, we don't enjoy spring. Sometimes it's hard to do because spring isn't all that lovable. Okay?
Not always.
Spring, you know, in like a lion, out like a lamb, right? Isn't that what they say?
Hopefully.
And I get it. But you got it. This is the time of year where I think, listen, we've all been dealing with, at least in the Midwest here, we've been dealing with the color void now, right? You get January, and in January you can eke out. Like January you can eke out. You get a little color punch at Valentine's Day. You get another little color punch at St. Patrick's Day. Like mm-hmm. you get a little bit of like boom, boom, boom. And then you're like, mm-hmm. St. Patrick's Day leaves. And you're like, now what? May's, you know. Like, 8 week, end of May is 8 weeks away. What am I gonna do? Right? And you're in this color conundrum.
So you're saying pastels are the answer.
I'm just saying, hi. I know I'm subtle. I know I'm not overt. Give me a try. Okay, give me a try. Try me on. And so this, my next segment, segment four, is about how to try them on. Because I covered platform in three. Like platform. Paint color, soft paint color. People like mm-hmm. soft pastels on walls. They like soft pastels on ceilings. If you don't think you can stomach a pastel on your wall, put it on your ceiling. Ceilings, you know, I believe are the forgotten canvas. Okay?
That is true.
I have been seeing now lots of cabinetry painted high gloss pastel, right? And then punctuated with other colors. I think if you're brave enough to try it as a platform, I would encourage you to do so. Especially in one room, especially like a guest bedroom. Like, it doesn't have to be your common area. It can be somewhere else. It
doesn't have to be something that you look at every day.
Maybe not if you're afraid of it. If you're afraid of it. But there's also something to be said for color confidence. Remember what I've said to you, there's nothing more engaging in a person or an interior than risk and style. We love risk takers. We love style. You pair those. There's nothing more interesting to people than risk and style, right? Mm-hmm. Especially people who take risk in style, okay? Like, those are very attractive qualities in a person and in a topic and in an interior. Mm-hmm. So I encourage my clients, take a little bit, make them personal, right? Mm-hmm. Take a little bit of risk, right? And make it stylistic. Like, make a statement, at least in some way. And that's what we're advocating on today's show, is making a statement. And we're using ways to maybe do it politely with polite pastels, okay? Mm-hmm. So as we talk about the punctuation of it all, this is where I think people can really kind of maybe get behind the argument. This is where I will give my closing argument to pastels on Easter Sunday, okay? If you have an interior that you're like, I don't know how I feel about color, and you can't color commit, because what I find is a lot of people, they just can't commit to a color way or a scheme. Either they like too many of them, mm-hmm. or in most cases, they're not quite sure combinations. Does that go with that? Mm-hmm. Like, this is what they do in their wardrobe, right? Like,
right.
Wow, does that go? And then sometimes you go to the wrong people. Like, you go to your spouse and, like, ask their opinion. Like, that's...
Never do that.
You know, if... Go to Zoe Sisano. Like, if you want fashion right, advice, yeah. She will be brutally honest. But she'll...
Brutally
if it's on point,
honest.
You'll feel like $1 million. Yeah. If it's on point, yeah, if, she'll be like, oh,
not?
Come into my phone, fit check. Like, she'll do a fit check on TikTok or something. Like, if you're on, she will make you feel amazing. If you're off, you'll know it. But all I'm saying is, I think people naturally come from that color conundrum experience where they're like, they're not sure. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're a kid, you'll wear anything. Mm-hmm. You'll wear mismatched socks. Mm-hmm. You'll wear stuff that doesn't, and it doesn't matter. And people call it cute. At some point in our lives, we're told, no. Color needs to be, you know, controlled or colorless altogether if you really want to. And to me, that's where it gets beaten out of us, right? Or our interiors are a chance to maybe reintroduce ourselves to colors, as is the season of spring. That's why I'm like so hot on this topic right now. It's not because I want you to, I don't want you to go paint everything pastel, right? And accidentally roll over your husband's face because like, you were moving so fast.
It wasn't
you know, that
an
you didn't
accident.
See him coming into the room with a sandwich and he's got like yellow on his face because you just blitzed the room with your butter yellow. That's not what I'm advocating at all. I'm not saying do it in haste. I'm saying do it in a controlled way. And maybe the way to do that is in punctuation. Let me expound on that. We have all been left with over the years, I don't know, this like, you know, fear of color, and it's been propagated by big box stores who shall remain nameless, who think that they just want you to, like, listen, don't be style heavy, just be textural, or just be cream, or just be linen. And you're like, okay, great, I don't have to make a statement, but I get max comfort without taking a risk. Yes.
But from the 100% amateur, full-time work, families, all the things you have going on.
I know what you're going to say. I'm going to tell you, it's easy. Easy is the enemy of creativity.
But the reason why it's easy, you're right. But it's also conducive to being able to do what you want, which is punctuate in different seasons with different colors.
Yeah,
so
but I would love to tell you that it's that controlled, that it's like, the reason I have a colorless interior is because I like to seasonally style with all of the colors of the rainbow. And I love my neutral palette because I push and I pull and you don't do that. You throw out like a Merry Christmas pillow, and if you're lucky, you get a heart-shaped pillow at Valentine's Day. We're not doing that. I would love to tell you, Nancy, that's a valid argument, but it doesn't play out in practical application. What I'm suggesting is, pastels do have lasting legs through summer. They just do. Okay? And if you want to punctuate with them and you want to try them on, there are so many fabric offerings that if you go to thedesigncoach.com and you look at the ticker that runs across the top of our page, you're going to notice that there's all these manufacturers, okay, from Lee Jofa Kravit, okay, to Jane Churchill. And I will tell you, Jane Churchill is one that I'm going to specifically reference to be able to punctuate with soft blues, butter yellows, even pinks, even like a soft tangerine mixed with green, which is an awesome entree into summer in an accent pillow. And what do we do here? Well, first of all, what do we do here in the lakes? Navy blue, yellow, gold. Like, it's the same lake played out, lake look, all the time.
Called nautical.
I know. It's nautical fur. We like our nautical fur. And I get that. I'm not saying.
We live on a lake, for God's sake.
Yeah, live on a lake. Okay, but does it have to be? Do you have to just give in to that?
No, I will just put fake seagulls everywhere then.
And for the love, seriously, for the love of God.
And anchors.
Not, just one ask for anybody listening. Don't give your lake friends anything that's seahorse related, whale related, okay? There are no
starfish
or shells. There's no there's zebra mussels, but there's no shells. Okay? Like, please, just don't do that. Save that for your ocean friends. Please don't do that in the lake area. I digress.
You have
back onto my topic about punctuation with pastels. If you go at this the right way, pastels are one of the easiest colors to determine combinations. Why? You can't almost not miss. You take a blush pink and a light blue and a light yellow, and you put those in a percentage on a sofa that's neutral, you're not worried about mismatching. You know why? Because they're subtle. It's not like you went in and went like, orange, navy blue, yellow gold, right? What do you think? Like, it's not like, don't you love it? Like some of these heavier colors, that's visually how they sound.
If colors had voices.
That's how they, yeah, if they had sounds, okay? Pastels are like, hello, okay? Welcome to spring, okay?
They have an English accent.
We're going to start you with a light introduction of a nice soft butter yellow that reminds me of morning rise, okay? And the soft blush pink that you might find at dusk or dawn, okay? Like, I'm letting you know, pastels are cool and interesting, and we don't give them their due. And maybe the way to start is through the punctuation because it's easy. Mm-hmm. And maybe the way to do it is to do it, especially in February or March, when you know it's just not that great and you know Easter's coming. Maybe you should
ease yourself into it.
Ease yourself into it. Like, start March 1st when you're like, eh. Like,
no, because like, at March 1st, you're not over St. Patrick's Day yet.
I know. That is such a Midwestern statement. Oh. I'm just letting you know.
You want to hear
the passion for pastels? Where I want you to go is I want you to think a little bit more coastal, okay? I want you to allow other regions of the country to calibrate your color eye, and coastal does that, especially with how pastels can be packaged and paired in percentages that are fantastic.
You have 1 minute and 10 seconds left before the show gets kicked off the air for my show, actually. And you promised cocktails.
All right. So I have a cocktail that I think you need to try, and I'm going to give it to you in 1 minute.
Is it pastel colored?
It is. It's called the Easter egg.
Jeez.
Okay.
Okay.
Going to take raspberry lemonade, simply lemonade. You're going to take your favorite shade of either boring vodka or tequila. Okay. 2 ounces of that, a little bit of raspberry lemonade, and blue carousel.
Oh, yeah.
You mix that up, you'll get a beautiful shade of purple, and you can call it the Easter egg.
Aww. Okay?
Anyway, listen, happy Sunday, everyone, and happy Easter. And thank you for listening to our journey of pastel with the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Have a great day, everybody. You've been coached.